put the stress aside and just lay it down. And Kisha brought up an interesting point that we all get into, and is this is a stressful time of the year. You know why it's a stressful time of the year? Because that's what we proclaim with our mouth. And I'm telling you, church, we can grow past that because we all do that. It's tax time. It's a stressful time of the year. It's not if you prepare. It's just another day if you prepare. If you're ready to pay your taxes, it's just another day. And you think, thank God it's a good day because I had my tax money this year to pay. Huh? In the wintertime, oh, it's stressful because the roads are icy. In the winter, praise God, we don't have to run the air conditioner. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just can't take this heat anymore. Thank you, Lord, that I'm able to endure all things through Christ Jesus. Huh? Isn't it amazing how we focus on the stressful time, the stressful issue, the stressful things that life, and even proclaim it, get up and announce it's a stressful time of the year. Christmas, supposed to be one of the most glorious times of the year because we celebrate the birth, the greatest gift ever given to man. And we think about Christmas and we talk about Christmas and some of us get knots in our shoulders just thinking about the gifts and the buying and the credit and the, you know. And it's supposed to be a wonderful, blessed time of the year. It's not stressful for me. I don't charge anything for Christmas. I just pay cash. Because I'm blessed. And you know what? You're blessed. And you can pay cash. I don't care what you make. You just spend what you have. When some of you grew up, like around this a little older, you know what you used to do? You used to have like a cookie jar or something. You put your money in there, and when it's gone, you just quit. What a novel idea. But we can go way past quit, can't we? We can go way down in the hole in the cookie jar now. It's called easy credit, easy payments. You get enough of those easy things, and they're hard to pay. Plus all the interest you give away. But today, I don't want to talk about stress. What I want to talk about today is blessings. How many is enjoying the blessings? That's where you are today. Let me say, just wave at me. You're enjoying the blessings. Look at all the people. Maybe this is the wrong church. Well, you're just enjoying the blessings, you know. And then there's a place I think we go beyond enjoying the blessings, and it's sharing the blessings. I want to talk to you today about enjoying the blessings and sharing the blessings. How many's got beyond just getting the blessings? You're sharing the blessings. Let me see. Well, Les, maybe this is where I'm supposed to camp out for a while. Yeah. But we get past, you know, the fulfilling part of living for Jesus Christ is way past getting blessings. It's giving blessings. It's being a blessing. That's where the real joy of God is. It's when you can be a blessing to someone. That's when you go to bed at night thinking, I made a difference. I'm significant. My life counts. That's when you go to bed and you know you've used your gifts and your talents and what God has given to you, and you just there's no high like that. You can't find a joint in Oklahoma to make you, you know, to sip on and make you feel like that. That's some good stuff. That little song we just sang, I thought, isn't that a soothing little song? I told him this morning, I said, you know, that's better than when we used to get high, isn't it? You know, because we come down and that soothing, boy, you get high on Jesus now. It's just like, just singing praises to the Lord. And yes, He loves me. And that's, you know, we need to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. There's a time when we'll go through a mess and stress, but how many knows the Christian is not supposed to live there? We're not supposed to live in stress and mess. Look, some of you will be getting married before long. Let me tell you something. You're not supposed to live in stress and mess. It's not normal. And you'll look at your spouse someday and say, you know what? You're a mess. You'll say, this is not normal. My pastor said, this is not normal. We're not living like this. And your spouse will look at you and say, what are we going to do? You say, we're going to serve Jesus. We're going to get on to the blessings and being a blessing. Amen. Now get up and quit your griping and come on, let's go. It's just that simple, isn't it? I wish it was. It can be if we'll let it. Now, I want to show you something from the Word. And I don't have no notes today. Just God said just throw your notes away and talk to the people from your heart. But I want to show you something in John, the 21st chapter. And how many's ever felt like before when you've come through a mess, Jesus has left the building? How many's ever felt like that? Yeah. You're like, good Lord, he's left me here in this mess, and Jesus has just left the building. Where is he? You know? All of us have felt like that at times. That's why it said the just shall live by faith. Not by what you feel. Not by what you feel is a stressful time of the year, but what you know is a blessed time of the year. Now there's planting and there's cultivating and tending, and then there's harvest, and we all go through those cycles in life, you know, because there's time to plant, there's a time to harvest and reap, and so there's planting time, and that seems to be harder sometimes than reaping. The reaping is fun, isn't it? When you planted something good and then you get to reap the benefit. The reaping is good. When I love Jana like I'm supposed to love her, and I treat her nice when she doesn't treat me nice, you know, she's had a bad day or something, and for once I'll be nice. And she recognizes it and she says, "You're just such a good man." I'm like, "Yes, I like those benefits." You know, just blessings, because she's identified that I've sown a good seed. And same way with her, when I'm grumpy or something and she comes back with a soft and loving answer. Last night we were pulling in the driveway and she said something about our old gates. We have some ugly iron gates with ugly chain link on them that I put up to keep dogs out of our yard. And she said, "Don't you just hate our gates?" I said, "No, I just love our gates." I said, "I know they're not very pretty, but I just love our gates. They serve the purpose and that's what God's given. I just love that. And I've just decided I'm just going to praise God for everything I have." She didn't say anything. And we got up to the house. We were going into the house. She said, "I love our brick." I said, "I do too. I love our brick." Because for a long time we had a frame home. You know, it was just an old frame home that we kind of remodeled. And so we finally got to brick it, you know. And so I thought, yeah, you know, it's catchy, isn't it? Whatever you're doing, that's what somebody's going to hop on. You know, I could have said, "I know, honey, I hate those gates. That's the ugliest gates. You know, God will provide and we'll make, you know, I don't know." You know, but I said, "I just love our gates." That's kind of where Peter and his crew is today. Jesus has left, the mess is over, and remember, he's just denied the man that has poured his life into him for 3.5 years. Just said, "I don't even know him," and cursed, and just made a fool of himself, and then he went out and he wept bitterly, and all the dust is settled. Jesus has appeared to him a couple of times, but faded away, and they're still like in a kind of a area where, is this Jesus or Memorex? You know, what's going on here? And so that's where they are, and they're trying to figure out what's going on and what are we going to do. And how many has ever been through a mess and you felt like, you know what, when I was serving, when I wasn't even a Christian, when I was just living on the world, it wasn't this hard. Well, I tell you, if you haven't never been there as a Christian, you will. It's like, man, I didn't have it this hard when I wasn't serving Jesus. And at least I got to sleep in on Sundays. Huh? Yeah. Because we give up so much for Jesus, we get up an hour early to suffer for Jesus. That's what Peter's thinking. "I don't know what to do, guys. I don't know what to do," is what Peter's thinking. And he's the leader. He's the strong individual. He's the influencer. And so he's saying to them, "I don't know what to do." It says, after these things in verse 1, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael and Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." You know what he's saying? "All I know to do is just go back to doing what I was doing before Jesus came. Because this has been a mess and it's been hard and I denied him, I failed. I'm ashamed of myself. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, so I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to go out and do ministry the way he taught us for 3.5 years. He modeled that every day in front of them. I'm not going back to that. I'm going fishing. I'm just going to do what I was doing before Jesus got a hold of me." A lot of people say that nowadays. They say, you know what? You see them come in, you see them get filled with the Holy Spirit and saved and sanctified and all the good stuff that Jesus does for us. And then something happens and they go through trial and the test and something, and you'll just see them fall by the wayside. And you say, "You know, I'm just staying home. I'm just going to fish for Z's this Sunday. I'm just going to sleep in." because I don't know what to do. I feel like Jesus has left. We've come through a mess. I failed miserably. I'm just going back to what I used to do. You know what they're saying? Let's just go back to Egypt. At least in Egypt, we had a roof over our head, and we had something to, we knew we was going to get a little bite to eat every day. Out here in the desert, who knows? There's no fields, there's no crops, there's no nothing. And so let's just go back to Egypt. Let's stone our leader and just go back to Egypt. All of us have go back to Egypt moments, and what you do with those is what will determine what you will become. I heard a man say this week, he said, you make your decisions, but your decisions make you. I thought, isn't that true? You make decisions, but your decisions make you. Just like my little wandering eyes that went on that paper, I could have just very easily left it there and left it alone and ignored the prompting of the Holy Spirit and justified it because it's an open book test. But the Holy Spirit said, you don't belong in that place anymore. You belong in a place of integrity, and you better make it right or you won't reach the next level. So I risk everything over wandering eyes. And here's the good part. I risk nothing because now I'm in good standing with God because I've been obedient. Kind of like my friend Todd here says, geez, the devil can't blackmail me over that one. That's a good statement. Did you come up with that?
No.
I don't know. Okay. Praise be to God, huh? Yeah. I like that statement. So Peter says, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you. How many knows when you decide to go back where you were before Jesus got a hold of you and fixed you? How many knows when you decide to go back, you never go back alone? You always take somebody with you because every person in this building is influencing someone. You can take that to the bank. Every person in here is influencing someone. Did you see Caden on the stage this week with his little guitar? You should have seen these boys down here looking like, wow. Wonder how I could get up there. Huh? I mean, everybody at every stage is influencing somebody. Some of you teenagers, you're influencing somebody at school, whether you realize it or not. So, well, I'm not really, it doesn't matter, because something you say or do will attract someone in some way, and they'll do that. I noticed a phrase last night. We went out with my little brother and about 10 of his friends, and I noticed a phrase that was hopping around the table. That just ain't right. That just ain't right. They kept saying that phrase. Have you heard that lately? That just ain't right, you know. And they kept saying, I told Janice, I picked them up a little phrase, didn't they? You know why? Because they influence each other. Now, where'd they get that phrase? I don't know. That phrase, Satan can't blackmail me. That's a good phrase. If you're going to pick up habits, pick up good habits, right? Don't pick up bad ones. And it's not a bad habit. It's bad grammar to say that just ain't right. But it's not a bad habit. But I'm just saying we're all influenced by someone. And something said around it. Even if you're the leader of the pack and you got followers, you follow them closely enough, they're going to influence you some way. Peter says, I'm going fishing. I'm just going back to what I was doing before Jesus came. And his followers said, his peers said, we're going with you because we don't know what to do either. We don't understand the situation either, so we're just going with you. And I'll tell you something else. Here's the good part. Whenever you and I decide to go forward and go up for Jesus Christ and grow ourselves and be more for Christ, we also influence and take people with us. Some will go. Some will not. But some will. You'll influence them for the good. So they said, we're going with you. Now watch this. They went out and immediately got into the boat and that night they caught what? Nothing. Let me tell you what kind of catch is back there where you were. Nothing. B.C., before Christ, in your life, guess what's back there? Nothing. Nothing that you and I need. Not one thing. The devil will lie and say, oh, we had it better before we were Christians. We didn't fight like this when we weren't Christians. And that is a fact in mine and Jana's particular case. We did not fight as much when we were non-Christians as we did the first 2 years we became Christians. In fact, let me give you this piece of delightful information. In the first 2 years that we were Christians is the only time we ever talked about getting a divorce. Well, ain't that holy? And that's a fact. And here's what was going on. I was developing as a leader and as a Christian. She was developing at her pace. I was developing at my pace. They weren't the same. In fact, she was the one that pulled me, along with the Holy Spirit, back into church and serving God. And then when I did catch hold, I took off like a blaze of lightning. I was just so grateful. And she was back here and said, "Now, we don't have to go every Sunday. Don't get fanatical on me." It's kind of like, what have I created here? And we struggle with that. And it wasn't that she didn't love Jesus. She loved Jesus with all her heart. And it wasn't that I didn't love Jesus, but when I was out doing my own thing, I did. But, you know, I was serving me. But when I did take hold, and then I'd try to bring her along and say, you know, you just need to grow. You just need to be like me, because I'm holy. That is not a good thing to tell your wife, I figured out.
Amen.
Because let me tell you, when you tell her you need to be like me, I'm holy, and you need to be like me, she said, I would hate to be like you. That's really her, you know. I think there was a piece missing. It's called humility, you know. and there's pride and all kinds of stuff in that statement. But I'm telling you, that's where we were inside of Christianity. And I tell you that because some of you think, you know, you're abnormal when you go through stuff like that. I don't think it is. I think it's just simply saying that, you know what, you don't know what to do with all this stuff you've got from Jesus. And then sometimes you're like Pete, and when you mess up, you don't know what to do next. That's a part of life, but I want to show you what to do next, and he taught us what to do next. And here's what I want us to get today. I want us to get to the place where we don't deal with mess our life. How many knows Christians have not been ordained to just deal with mess all your life? Our ordination comes and calling comes to deal with blessings. We're supposed to be dealers in hope and dealers in blessings, not just continually fighting our own mess. How many knows if we're always in a mess fighting our own mess, we can't help anybody else? They get our focus off our own mess and our focus on ministry and what we can do to further the kingdom of God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy what? Will be done. His will is not about just fixing the mess. We need to get over the mess. His will is about finding our gifts and talents and using them for Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to deal with. We're talking about from the cross to the crown. You pick up your cross and follow him, and you find blessing after blessing after blessing. I mean, knows whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Here's a good plan. If you don't have a life plan, here's your good life plan. Sow something good every day and reap the benefits every day. Because you've sown something this today, and then today passes, you'll sow something tomorrow, and then that day passes, and you'll sow something the next day, and all this crop's coming up, and so you're just beginning to reap because you sow good seeds every day. Every day. I love the phrase, I think I told it in either Bible study or here, the success of my day is not determined by the harvest that I reap, but the seeds that I sow. That's a great statement. The success of my day is not determined by the harvest I reap, but the seeds I sow. Because if you reap something today, that doesn't mean you're successful. It just means you have been successful. That means you have done something right. You're reaping. But that's because it's come up. But that's back there. Today, my success is really determined on what I sow today. That's the success of my day. Powerful words. And so here they are, and they're going back to what they where they were before Christ, and they don't know what to do. Verse 4, but when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Here's another key for you. You know what? And when we're thinking about blessings, sometimes we feel like Jesus has left the building, but guess what? Just like he's on the shore that day, he knows exactly where you are when you're going through a mess. He knows exactly where you are when all the dust is settled and all the failure's been done and all the stuff is done and you're sitting there on the shore wondering what to do next. Jesus knows right where you are. He says, I know where you are. You're not lost. You may feel lost. You may feel like you don't know, but Jesus knows where you are and what you need. He knows those two things. So here he comes to his disciples. And then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And I love what somebody, I heard this one time, said, you know what? When Jesus asks a question, he's not looking for information. he's just looking for confirmation or something else. But he's never looking for... I mean, he knows he knew their nets were empty. He wasn't asking. And so he says, have you any food? And they said, they answered, no. And then he said, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. How many knows Jesus' some is better than the devil's plenty or abundance? He said, you will find some. You know what? His some almost sunk the boat. His some almost broke the net. You'll find some. And so the first thing he's doing with his disciples that has denied him and lied and wouldn't pray with him for an hour when he needed them and he woke them up again, they wouldn't pray. The first thing he's doing when he comes to them, he's not rebuking them. He's not rejecting them like we feel like he probably does us sometimes. He don't. You know what? He loves you. He loved you enough and me enough to die for us. And so he's coming back to me and to you. When we fail, he's coming back to us with, you know what? Not rebukes and things. He'll get to that later. But he's coming back to restore us and bless us. I think too many of us don't believe that. And well, he wants to bless me when I do good. Well, he wants to bless you whenever, wherever, and whenever he can. And when you hurt, when you messed up, my messed up, he knows it, and he wants to come and say, come on, you're my child. Come here. You know, when you know your children's failed, you don't just beat them over the head forever. You want to love on them a little, don't you? Because you know they failed, and you know they have. I saw one of my grandsons picking on another kid the other day at the ballpark. I said, I better never see you do that again. We don't do that. We're Christians. I said, you get a bad reputation. Everybody in the park say, you're a punk. I mean, I let him have it because you know what? When you're just picking on other kids, that's terrible. And I said, come on here. You're better than that. And I began to tell him about blessings and what he was in God. Huh? There's a time to rebuke, but you know what? You always have the love in there. And he comes back, and the first thing he's doing for them is saying, you know what? You want to fish? I'll bless you in your fishing. This is not where you're supposed to stay, but I'll bless you where you are, doing what you know to do. I'll bless you in that. And says, so they cast, and now they were not able to draw in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, I love John putting that in. How many knows he's talking about himself there? I think we ought to have a John complex. Jesus just loves me so much. That disciple Jesus loved, you know, that's me. I thought that was pretty cool. He put that in there about himself. Said to Peter, is this? It is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. That's Peter, isn't it? When he's going, he's going. We talked about that, the Peter complex, you know, the Peter philosophy, the Peter personality. It's ready, fire, aim. Some of you have that. You know, it's just, I have that a lot. You know, you just fire and then you take aim later. And so he jumps into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Peter just left everything. Jesus is back in the building. Verse 9, and then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. You know what Jesus is showing them here? Unconditional love doesn't change who I am, and I'll still serve you. Did you know we can get to a place where we can look at our enemies and say, unconditional love, how you treat me, it doesn't affect how I treat you. How you treat me doesn't have one thing to do with how I treat you. And he gets up and he makes some breakfast. You know it's a bunch of men when they have fish for breakfast, right? I'm a man. That don't even really sound appealing to me. But, you know, if Jesus cooked it, if Jesus cooked it, you would eat it, yeah. But it's got to be a bunch of men, right? They got their fish frying there. And then watch this. He's going to feed them, but I think it's very interesting. Jesus said, bring some of the fish which you have just caught and come and eat breakfast. Now, this is interesting because if he's going to serve them and he's concerned about how they feel and how they're doing and their well-being, he's going to nourish them, why has he already taken some of their fish? Let me tell you why he's already taken some of their fish. Because when you and I are at the bottom of the barrel and we've come through, we need to still give. Do you hear me? Because when we have something, when we come through this big dark mess, we don't feel like giving. But Jesus said, don't give when you feel like it. You give because you need to give. You need to, I think it signifies the tithe of what they've just caught. Really is what I think it signifies. But in the midst of taking care of them and knowing how they feel, he didn't say, well, you know, I won't take any of their fish. I'll just let them sell all their fish and just keep that for themselves. Listen, when you do that, when I do that, we draw in this little shell and we stop giving ourselves away, we cut our blessings off. We stop sowing seeds. This is their seed fish, if you will. You don't stop giving of yourself and your time and your finances just because you don't feel good. And you see people do that. They quit coming, they quit spending time in the Word, and quit giving themselves to other people and blessing other people, and quit giving their tithes and offerings. And you see this, and Jesus said, that is not the way to get healed. Listen, quit being so timid with people when they're coming in to get healed about giving themselves away and just trying to nurture them and make the focus on them. They're saturated in that. I talked to a man this morning that is just saturated in his mess. He can't see past his hand. He's just saturated in it. I mean, he's eat up with it. And I said, listen, the Bible said, whatever things are pure and lovely and of good report and that are just, and think on these things. Move your thinking a little bit, you know. You're doing good stuff, but you need to quit fretting and walk in the peace of God and change your thinking. And we need to have a blessing mentality if you're going to live in blessing. That's what Jesus had. He had a blessing mentality. Just walking around, and the thing for his day was he was on his knees praying, and every day he walked around saying, who can I touch today? I can touch this. What's your need today? And he'd touch this one. And what's your need today? And he'd go by and he'd touch this one. And so that was what he did every day. And he's just planting blessings and planting good seeds, and he's reaping good seeds all the time. And then when he needs to have a basket of fish and a few loaves of bread to feed thousands of people, it's there. Because he's been feeding and touching people every day. I'm talking about living and being a blessing. This is how he says you can live and be a blessing. You don't have to live in mess every day. I don't think we're called to live in mess. I think we're called to live in blessing and being a blessing. I think that's our main call, is to be a blessing and to live in blessing. And so he says, give me some of your fish. And they came and ate breakfast. And none of his disciples dared ask him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. He's still serving. You know what he's teaching them? Here's what it is, guys. There's hurting people out there just like you, and here's how you fix them. Part of it is service. You just get up, you say, what is your need? Great statement says this, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's a really accurate statement, because they really don't. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Jesus said, let me show you how much I care. And he gives them the fish. Now is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised. Now watch. He's giving them a little nourishment, but he's not wasting any time, is he? He says, so when he had eaten the bread, eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said what? Take a vacation. Did he say that? Simon, do you love me? You've just been a mess. Just take a vacation. You need a vacation. That's what you need. All paid expense. Take the fish, go sell the fish, and take you a good long vacation. Is that what he said? You know, when we've been through kind of hell on earth, if you will, and we've come through the battle, that's what we say to him. I need a vacation. And what we really need is a blessing. And you don't get blessings by taking vacations. Now, we get a little physical rest and we get renewal. And I'm not against vacation, but I'm just saying, when you're down and stressed and you've come through, you've held on to the rope and Jesus has been pulling you through a trial or a tribulation, we don't need a vacation. What we need to do is tend to Jesus' business. He said, feed my lambs. me believes if it would have been best for Pete to take a vacation, Jesus would have said, literally, take a vacation. I believe if he had literally needed a vacation at this point, Jesus would have said, take the vacation. But he's come through some tough stuff, and Jesus said, I want you to get healed. And he said, so go out and feed my sheep. I want you to get up and use the gifts that I've given to you and get healed and be a blessing. How many knows that's how we are a blessing and we become a blessing and receive blessing is when we go out and use your gift. Jesus was feeding, or Peter's was feeding sheep. He's talking about taking the word and preaching sermons and feeding them spiritually. He says, use your gift. And in verse 16, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. You notice he didn't say, do whatever you feel you need to do. You hear that a lot, don't you, when people come to you, well, I just feel like I need to, you know. Well, how many knows your feelings will deceive you?
Amen.
they're terrible. That's why they call it the flesh. And carnality. And I'm telling you, I've watched this and I've witnessed this most of my ministry where people come in and they're really needing something from God and all of a sudden maybe somebody needed food for a funeral or something and I would ask them, can you bake something or cook something for them and bring that to the funeral? They're like, yeah, I guess I can. And you watch them prepare this and stuff, or you know what I'm saying, they go home and prepare this, and they bring it back up, and they serve this dish, they serve this meal to people, and then you ask them, do you think you could stay and help? Well, yeah, I guess I could, you know. And before this serving's over, you watch somebody transform before your eyes because they've got their mind off themselves for a day or a few hours, and they begin to serve somebody else. And they leave with like, this was a good day, wouldn't it? I've seen that so many times. Just little, asking people that was going through the mess just to serve. Listen, leaders, to me in this, you, that families, parents, whomever, that you influence somebody, don't be afraid to ask people that are hurting to serve and give. They need it. They need it. They need to get their mind off themselves and they need to plant some seeds today. You know, you don't give them a pulpit or nothing because they're, you know, they don't do that kind of ministry. But you give them some little something that they can do that's not about them. I'm telling you, this is powerful stuff. If you're hurting and you want to live in blessing and be a blessing. And then here's the overkill, of course. You know, then when we serve and stuff and then we really serve and we really think we've really went beyond what everybody else has done, we're just like, man, I carried nearly the whole load. Bless my religious heart. Here's what we should say. Man, I've sowed the most seeds. I'll get the biggest blessing. Ow! You know, have a party. Not a pity party. Have a party. A blessing party. So this project, you know, Cindy could have had that complex this week. Man, she just run and sowed and did. And, you know, and it's like, thank you, girl. Yeah. But you know what? The devil could just beat you over the head with that. And your flesh could say, man, I'm just wore out. And they didn't do near what I did. And how come I have to do that? In fact, they were all standing there. I said, you know, last year, Delisa was headed it up and did most of the grunt work and things. Now, Cindy did this year. Maybe we can just hand it off. She's like, I'm handing it off! But we think about it in the area of blessings. Like, I'm giving the blessing away next year. You know, we don't think of it that way, do we? We think of it as, man, it's work. Because it is work. Ministry is work. It's work. Preparing sermons is work. Every week. But it's good work. If that's what you're called to do. Those flowers out there. Thank God for rain, right? But it's work, isn't it? I see them up here. I'll be at the office and I'll hear something outside and I look and they'll be out there turning the water on out here, turning the water on out there. And you know, it's work. Somebody had to work to get those flowers to look like that. We don't just pray and poof, here comes the garden. Look at that. Look what Jesus did. He did it, but he did it through the Weinbergers. The yards has been mowed. They don't just get mowed by prayer and thinking about it. They get mowed and manicured and polished and stuff through people that say, I care about what God's grass looks like. Giving themselves away. Giving themselves away. He says, you know what? If you love me, feed my sheep. You don't take a vacation. Don't do whatever you want to do. Feed my sheep. Do my will. That's how you get healed, Peter. That's how you'll get strong. That's how you'll find fulfillment in your life. That's how you'll find significance, is when you're doing my will. You're doing my will. You're doing what I called you to do. You're using the gift I gave you to be a blessing to the kingdom. You're going to find the fullness and the blessings of God. Oh, if I could just get you to believe that this morning in the fullness of what he's saying here. This is a wonderful, wonderful life to live, isn't it? All of you that are doing and serving God, you know this is a wonderful life that we have. Verse 17, he said to him a third time. Now we kind of rag on Peter because three times. You know what? There's a lot of us in this room. It's about, he said unto us 10 times. 30 times, yeah. Yeah. Because he's still saying it. We still get that poor pitiful me thing, and we still don't use our gifts because of whatever it might be. One of the things we really had fun with this weekend in our leadership retreat, we had a dream session. I love that part yesterday, by the way, guys and girls that was in our leadership retreat. And we had a dream session, and one of Cindy's dreams is to get up and speak in public and minister. And I said, there's a goal, yeah. And so, anyway, that's I said, well, so you're going to start speaking and doing, and you, she says, no. Isn't that just like us? I want to get up and minister and do and, you know, and communicate to the congregation what's going on here at Prayer of Faith and what ministries are doing and so we're going to, so you, oh no, I don't want to get up and do it. That's just the goal. Kind of like me when I first started singing, I thought, you know, boy, I love to sing at home, and I had a guitar, and I grew up on old Hank Williams Sr. songs, you know. I went down to the river to watch the fish swim by. But when I got to the river, so lonesome I wanted to die, oh Lord. You know, I just singing them old blues songs, you know. And then I found Jesus, and I started singing happy songs and peaceful songs and blessing songs. But when I first started, it was hard because I was like you. I didn't want to get up in front of people. And in fact, when I was 10 years old, I got my first guitar, and I learned 3 chords, and I learned some Hank Williams tunes, and people, you know, family or whoever it was, didn't matter who it was, they'd come over and I'd say, sing us a song. I'd say, okay, go in the other room. That's the truth. You can ask my mom and dad, I'd say, okay, go in the other room. And so they'd go in the other room, and I'd sing. You know, if they looked, I couldn't sing no more. Oh, you can't, you know. And so I had that kind of complex when I became a Christian, and I loved it, and I could play my guitar, but I didn't want to sing in front of public. And finally, it's a way, you know, if you're going to sing, you're going to have to get up and sing. And so I got up one Sunday morning, and I got behind that microphone, and I had my guitar, and I hadn't stood there but just a second, and there was beads of sweat coming down my face. Just standing there. I hadn't sang anything yet. I'm just standing there. Got my guitar, and I'm just sweating. And then my knees start going. I couldn't make them quit. I was just shaking. You look like Elvis. Hello, my name's Johnny Cash. You know, it was terrible. I was just shaking, and sweat was just beaming. And I thought, man. And I sang my first song, and my voice. It sounded like teenage guys when they're, you know, your voice is changing. Now they goes up and then down and then it sounded like that. It was terrible. But I got through it. I was drenched, you know, and I was sweating and it was terrible, but I got through it. Use your gift, he was saying. It wasn't much to use, but you know what? If you don't use the much you have now, the amount you have now, however little and insignificant you think it is, if you don't use that now, He won't increase you. If you'll be faithful over a few things, the Bible said, I will. He said, I will make you ruler over many things. So I got up in my first time and I used my little gift. Second time, it might have been a little easier. Didn't seem like it, but it might have been. Third time, 40th time, 60th time, and it did get easier. And now it's much easier. It's much easier. Kishi, on the other hand, is a teacher, and she gets up every day, and she said every day she's nervous about it. I've been to her class before, and I've heard her teach some and deal with her class. She didn't appear nervous to me. And so it is easier, whether you feel like it or not. It is easier. My first sermon I ever preached, I got up, it was on the Beatitudes, I just snuck that. I'd read a verse. The Bible says in Matthew, the 5th chapter, and let's go there. They recorded it, of all things. And I played it back, and I thought, how powerful is this going to be? And all it was, so embarrassing. Oh, golly. And you know what it was? I didn't have asthma or whatever. I had nervous is what I had. And I thought, man, this is a powerful message. And I thought, and then every scripture that I knew, I tried to kind of bring in to keep, to do, you know, filler. And I preached about 5 to 7 minutes. And I'm sure that was about 4 minutes longer than everybody was hoping I'd preach at that time. But that was my first message. And so now, you know, it's like you need to shut up and they're ready to go home. You're losing them, you know. So you have different problems after you been a speaker for a while, communicator. But the thing is, he just saying to Pete, I have worked with you for over three years. I've poured my life into you, and you know, I've modeled that every day of your life for the last 3 years. Now you need to get up and tend sheep. Get up and do what I've shown you that you need to do. And that's what he says to us, and that's one of the keys I hope we all take away from here, is when you're having a bad day, get up and do what you know to do for Jesus Christ, and you will be healed. And you will be a blessing, and you can receive blessing. And refuse to live in mess. Refuse to, last night when we were talking about those gates, I said, it's kind of like cursing the darkness. This is what we have, and I'm just going to bless God for it, and He's going to give us better gates. Rick and Michelle's got brand new gates. They got deer on there. They got a button you push, and it just goes, and you just drive right in. I know what she's doing. She's seen the Philibet gate. That's the way we always start dropping, isn't it? Is we've seen what the Smiths has and the Jones has and the, you know, and so, and it's really hard not to just hop into that together. But I said, you know what? By the grace of God, one day my gate will go, boom, you know. And we'll just drive right in. I say, thank you for the better gates, Lord. And I'll give some of you my old gates. Yeah. Then he says this, 17, third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, listen, and remember what I told you all ago, don't be ashamed to ask hurting people, because he's not ashamed, is he? He's to the point where Peter's grieving now. He's like, you're really putting the pressure on here, God. I've already told you twice. He said, yeah, I know, but you're not getting it yet. I'm going to ask you till you get it. And so now it's getting down in his spirit. He's grieved this time. The third time he asked him, he says, it tells him, feed my sheep. Do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Use your gift. You want to be healed? You want to walk in blessing and be a blessing? Use your gift. You use your gift when things are good. You use your gift when things are bad. You use your gift when it's in the middle somewhere. Use your gift. Everybody say that with me. Use your gift. Look over at your neighbor and say, use your gift. Now look back at him and say, yeah, well, you do the same thing. Now one more time, look back and say, just mind your own business. No, don't do that. Listen. God has called us to walk in blessing and be a blessing, and that's the way we do it. The storm's over. He's been crucified, but he's gained victory. He says, don't stay back over there. Yeah, we had some bad times. We went through some tough times. And yeah, there were some things said we'll never be able to take back and regret. But you know what? That was yesterday. Today's a new day. Let's get up and use our gift and plant seeds and go forward. Be a blessing and receive a blessing. How many says, I'm with you. I'm with Jesus. We're going to go forward and be a blessing and use our gift. Amen. Father, thank you for your word that shows us that healing doesn't come through vacation or extended periods of time when we just do nothing. Because that's about us. There may be times in our life for a short season we just sit and receive and all, but that's not the norm. That's not how we're fulfilled, and that's not how we receive anointing and blessing from heaven. That's not how we become a blessing and find significance in our life. It's not by sitting or taking long vacations. It's by doing your will. It's by finding what you have put in us and using that for the kingdom. Every person in this building, God, has been given a gift. And I pray, Holy Spirit, if they don't know what that gift is, that you'll reveal that to them. And God, reveal that through just simple ways like asking them, and showing them, revealing to them what they're passionate about. Because if they're passionate about it, you put that in there. And so whatever their gift is, reveal that to them, God, today. Our teenagers and our young people, our new converts that are in this, reveal your will and your gift that you put in them so they can use that for the kingdom. Maybe working for the city. Let them put on the face of Jesus as they go to work every day. Maybe teaching class. Let them put on the face of Jesus every day before they go and teach and minister to their kids. Because that's where you put them. That's where the light. That's where you place them as a light. It may be digging ditches or in construction. But God, when they show up, I pray that you'll let people around them see the face of Jesus. That there'll be men and women of integrity. They'll walk according to your word. And people around them will know that Jesus is here because they see Jesus in them. People will know as they are hurt and angry and they hurt one of us. And we respond with unconditional love. They'll see Jesus in us. And God, when we don't feel like getting up, we don't feel like doing, and we get up and we read and we pray and we be a blessing anyway. Bless us according to your word. Bless us abundantly more than we need so we can be a blessing to those around us. Teach us how to get up every day and plant a good seed so we can be a success in the kingdom and we can bring people to Christ and we can be a light and a vessel of honor and salt to this lost and dying world. Help us to put our hand to the plow and not look back. You said no man putting his hand to the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So help us to take a hold of the plow today and plow according to your will. Sowing seeds according to your will. And reaping a harvest of blessing and being a blessing. That's our desire and our prayer today. Thank you for helping us accomplish that through the power of Jesus Christ. Amen.